and welcome to another edition of International Report. In order to feed 10 billion people by the year 2050, in a world facing rising temperatures and scarcer water supplies, crop scientists and researchers believe we'll need to dramatically change the way we produce food. When it comes to wheat and other cereal crops, that means developing technologies involving genetic engineering. It also means more investment in research and development. Emmanuel Londe attended the International Wheat Congress held in Canada in July to find out more.
We have two combines, but one is big, this is the big one. And then this is our tractor, the first tractor on the farm,
which we haven't started for a couple of years.
How long have you had this one?
Well, see, I've 1942. My dad drove it home from Elstow. They used to sell tractors in Elstow.
In Elstow, Saskatchewan, Canada's wheat-growing province, Bob Riggs grows four types of wheat. The Riggs family took possession of 64 hectares of land in 1904. Today, the family owns 200,000 hectares. But being a farmer has never been easy, nor is it going to get easier. With bleak projections for the planet's climate and huge pressure on resources to feed a growing population, farmers, especially cereal farmers, find themselves at the heart of the conversation about agricultural biodiversity and global food security.
I am a little pessimistic, yes I am. Well, the biggest worry is that such a huge world population, and we're using a lot. I don't think we can back off. I don't think we can reduce it very easily. More and more of us, and we're using more and more of fossil fuels. So I think it's going to be very difficult to change.
62-year-old Bob, his wife Merrill, and their two sons run the farm, but it's getting harder and harder to run a profitable business.
Yes, it is a challenge because agriculture is a heavy user of fuel, of energy. In order to feed, to grow food, it takes a lot of energy. And I'm a little pessimistic that we're using it so quickly that we're not leaving much for the future.
The World Resource Institute warned last month in their report called Creating a Sustainable Food Future that clearing more land for agriculture was not an option. And for Bob, it seems unrealistic as well.
We really don't have much land here, say, you know, the rainforest, I guess, in Brazil and places like that. But here, most of what's the good land is already being used. You might be able to get another 5% perhaps, but not a big amount. And I think that's true the world over. I think we're running out of land to break and to use.
Producing more food on less land with fewer impacts on the environment will require scientific research and wheat breeding. Back at the University of Saskatoon, Dr. Andrew Sharp from the National Food Council of Canada works in genomics. He was co-lead on a study that sequenced the genome of wheat, a major milestone in wheat breeding research.
The biggest gap was that we didn't have the genome sequenced. It's about five times the size of the human genome. It's actually three individual genomes, related grass genomes, that have come together. And that's what wheat is. It's a combination of different species.
For decades, crop scientists have been breeding wheat varieties to determine which combination of environmental conditions and genetic traits are the best. Now, with the sequence, which orders all the genes done, it offers scientists a blueprint of all the chromosomes in wheat.
We have that order of genes, but we are not sure what all those genes do. In fact, most of the genes, we don't know what they do. So that's where we need to associate the genes, those genes don't have a known function, with influencing particular traits, be that disease resistance, be it resistance to drought stress or heat stress, for example. So this is where we need experiments now to look for variation between different wheat varieties for those different traits.
GMO, or genetically modified foods, have been around since 1994 when a tomato was created to ripen with a delay. 25 years later, crop scientists have gone a step further and developed precise gene editing technologies such as CRISPR-Cas9. It's a process where the individual genes of a single grain are kept or removed to strengthen that variety and make it more resistant or more productive. It could be the solution to breeding crops better adapted to harsher environmental conditions. Hans Brown, head of the Global Wheat Programme at the International Maize and Wheat Improvement Centre, says gene-edited crops will never be released as long as the public is against them.
There is no transgenic or GMO wheat released anywhere in the world. It was very clear that the consumer will not accept it, and that's why we work with transgenic wheat, but we never consider it for release. I want to be very clear on this. And so we work with it for scientific reasons, but we would not release this material to countries for release in their country as long as they don't have the legislation in place.
Despite these scientific advances, the EU has banned gene-edited crops called CRISPR plants. The Court of Justice of the European Union ruled that gene-edited crops should be subject to the same stringent regulations as conventional GMOs, though researchers say they aren't the same thing. Martin Kropf is General Director of the International Maize and Wheat Improvement Centre based in Mexico.
Gene editing is really big with CRISPR-Cas. Great opportunities. It's definitely not GMO. Of course, you have the discussions, is it GMO and who's deciding on this? Mm-hmm. But gene editing gives opportunities that are being also explored now in the big level in Europe in the horticultural breeding companies. Because it's really a promising technology that you can even be faster.
The World Resources Institute points out that genetic modification saved the Hawaiian papaya from a deadly virus and says it may be able to do the same for potatoes in Uganda, soybeans in Brazil, and tomatoes in Florida. Back at the farm, for Bob Riggs, science could be the only option left.
I think it's our only hope, actually, is to use the technology that's available, and gene editing being one of them, and things that we don't even know about yet. I'm okay with it, as long as it's properly tested, and I'm okay with it, yeah. I think it's maybe our only hope to feed all these people in the world. We need to do something.
For RFI, Emmanuel Landet in Saskatoon.